appreciate that.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you so much. All right.
Where will I never grow old? Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Psalm chapter 100. Stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. Verse 5, for the Lord is good. Can anybody say amen right there? His mercy is everlasting. Can anybody say amen right there? And His truth endureth to all generations. And all God's people said,
amen.
You can be seated. Pray with us, please. Father, thank You this morning for the privilege, the blessed privilege, to stand behind this Bible in this place and preach what You've put on our hearts. I pray, God, this morning You'd make the message a blessing in our hearing, that You'd challenge our hearts. God, You sure challenged my heart with this subject. Lord, since You saved me in 1987, I've tried my best to serve You. Yet, Lord, in being honest, it's not always been with gladness. Been times, Lord, when the burdens were heavy. Been times, Lord, when it seemed like the shadows were hanging low. But, Lord, You told us to serve You with gladness. As we approach this subject this morning, I pray, God, You'd work in our hearts. Help us today, and we'll give You glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. In the Bible, there are 150 psalms that are recorded in the book of Psalms. This particular psalm is the only one with the superscription, a psalm of praise. I hope before I get through this morning that you will understand why that this superscription was given to this psalm. I want to talk to you this morning about serving the Lord with gladness. Serving the Lord with gladness. You know, there's a scripture over in the book of Hebrews. I didn't intend to read this, but turn there with me just a minute. Hebrews chapter number 13. I think I need to just magnify just very briefly this text. In Hebrews chapter 13, in verse number 17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you, submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account. Now this is, I think, basically addressed to the pastor. God is saying, pastor, you're going to give an account of how you lead the congregation, how you serve the Lord. He said, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account. Now watch this, that they may do it with joy. That would be serving the Lord with gladness, that they may do it with joy. And then it says, and not with grief, for this is unprofitable to you. So I only read that text to say this. It's possible to do the same service to the same Savior with gladness. And it's also possible to render the same service to the same the Savior with grief, with sadness, in other words. I mean, just think about parenting for just a moment. Just put it in that context. Man, you can't be prouder when those children are obeying their mom and dad, and they're doing the right thing. Everybody needs a hat that's two sizes bigger. But sometimes those children just embarrass the fool out of you. Say amen. You know why? They act like their mom and daddy. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's exactly where they got it from. Amen. And so the Bible is talking about serving the Lord with gladness. I want to give you four things this morning. I'm going to try to hurry right along. That ought to be our goal, every one of us, from the pulpit to the pew, that we would serve the Lord with gladness. I didn't mean to say this either, but I need to say it. Many people think that coming through the church doors is serving the Lord. Honey, we come in here to worship the Lord. We go out yonder to serve the Lord. Amen. We come in here to worship, to gather, to worship, to uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But our field is not in here. Our field is out yonder. Serve the Lord. I was in a church somewhere when I was a missionary, and it said on that side of the doors, enter to worship. And when you left above the door, it said, depart to serve. I was in another church when you went up over the door. It said, you're now entering the mission field. And I understand that because, listen, the Bible said Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth, everybody needs Jesus. Amen. I'm going to say something this morning that's probably not going to be popular, but I believe we're living in a day when the church is a mission field. Did you hear what I said? We went through a time in the 1970s and the 1980s when people were talking people into saying a prayer. And beloved, the Holy Spirit was left out of it. Conviction was left out of it. Amen. But I'm telling you what, I believe with all of my heart, those that have been born again know it. And God knows it. Amen. And so that shouldn't bother you. That statement shouldn't bother you if you've met the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Bible said, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Why should we serve the Lord? Number one, service is expected. You might not like that, but it's true. Service is expected. Before I get through, you'll understand. Why should we serve the Lord? Number one, what we know. Amen? Know ye the Lord, He is God. Number two, who we know. It's not just what we know, but who we know. A person gets saved by the grace of God, they know the Lord. And that's why we talk about this personal Savior. You know Him personally. My daddy knew Him, but I couldn't know Him for my daddy. My daddy couldn't know Him for me. I can't know Him for Brother Chris, and Brother Chris can't know Him for me. Brother Chris walks with Him through the week. I walk with Him through the week. It's personal. Amen. Well, who we know. And then who we are. We're His people. We're the sheep of His pasture. We ought to, our service is expected because of what we know, because of who we know, because of who we are. But then, listen to this. I'm trying to hurry this morning, but because of what it cost. You say, Pastor, where did you get that out of that verse? The Word of God said the sheep of His pasture. Does anybody know what the shepherd did? Yeah. The shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Our service is expected because of what it cost that we could be in this family and do the work of God. It's expected. Here's an illustration of what I'm talking about. Luke chapter 17, verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come in from the field, go and sit down to meat. Listen carefully now, you'll get it. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things which were commanded him? The Word of God, the King James says, I trow not, which just means I think not. That's not the way it works. In other words, the Bible said, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Are you listening to me this morning? When you get saved by the grace of God, we love these verses. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. And we ought to love those verses. But we ought to love verse 10. For we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I'm telling you, beloved, when you get saved by the grace of God, you're not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. And you are expected to serve the Lord. So, Pastor, I don't like that. I didn't ask if you did. I'm just telling you, beloved, that if you're going to serve the Lord with gladness, you need to know what the Lord expects of you and expects of me. After all, If you take a trip to Calvary and see what he's done for us, how could anything that we do for him compare? Amen. Our service is expected. And then in this psalm, not only is our service expected, but our service is expressed. In other words, it comes out. We can't help it. Amen. Somebody said this, said salvation's like a measles. If you got it, it'll break out on you. Amen. And I believe that's the truth. Amen. I just saw there's a measles outbreak in Texas, and I feel for those youngins and what they're going through down there. But they showed some pictures of their backs, the little youngins' backs, and them little dots all over. Made me remember my childhood. Amen. And I'm just telling you, beloved, measles, chicken pox, and stuff like that. But I'm telling you, if you're saved by the grace of God, if they someone down in there, they're going to be something going on the outside. Amen. It's going to break out on you. It's expressed. First of all, the Bible said, make a joyful noise. Brother Chris was wondering why I didn't ask him to come to the choir. Because we're asking choir members to make a joyful noise in tune. In time. Now you say, Pastor, you've got no business making fun of Brother Chris. Hey, we're in a contest down there for who can sing the worst. Amen. And I believe I win most Sundays, amen. But I'll tell you what we do, we make a joyful noise. I know where it's coming from when I'm down there singing in a land where we'll never grow old. Glory to God, I know where it's coming from. It's coming from right down yonder, amen. Make a joyful noise. Unto that word joyful noise, it comes from a Hebrew word that means ruah, or you pronounce it ruah. Here's what it means. It means to break. It means to split the ears. Are you listening to me? A joyful noise. To shout for alarm or for joy. To blow an alarm. To cry. Make a joyful noise. To shout, sound an alarm. Beloved, listen. I believe with all of my heart that God's people ought to be making a joyful noise. It ought to be sounding an alarm to lost people that Jesus is coming again. When I looked up that word joyful noise and I saw that Hebrew word, that Hebrew definition, I don't know Hebrew and Greek, but I can look stuff up, amen. I can still read English, amen. We had a waitress the other day at Cracker Barrel, and she was wearing an apron that said Olivia. I said, Olivia, how are you today? She had already introduced herself. And she said, I'm not Olivia, I'm Brittany. And I said, well, I can read, but I can't hear. Amen. So that's why I called her Olivia. Amen. Listen to me. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, what my mind and my heart went back to when it said to split the ears, to shout a joyful noise. You know what my mind went back to? My grandmother in an old-fashioned Baptist church. And I was sitting right behind her when it happened. She exploded. Has anybody ever been in a church service or somebody, wow! I said, oh my goodness, what happened? Amen. I'm going to tell you what I knew. I knew in one instant that woman had something I did not have. I found out later she had someone that I did not have. She had Jesus down in her heart and down in her life. Make it joyful. It's going to be expressed. The Bible said with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. That gladness means glee. It means exceeding gladness. It means pleasure. It means rejoicing. How many's ever been to Chick-fil-A? How many's ever been to Chick-fil-A? The rest of you need to get right with God. Where's Maggie when you need her, Sister Kim? Amen. I know she's in children's church. Have you noticed this about Chick-fil-A? Their employees, Mark, they say, my pleasure. You notice that? You make an order and they'll say, my pleasure. Brother Chris, I need somebody to help me with the youth. You ought to be saying, my pleasure. Brother Dale, I need somebody to help me with the choir. You ought to be saying, my pleasure. Brother Gary, I need somebody to write me a check. You ought to be saying, my pleasure. Glory to God. God, we need somebody to go on visitation. We need some people to say, my pleasure. We need somebody singing the choir. We need somebody saying, my pleasure. Is anybody with me this morning? Serve the Lord with gladness. Honey, it's a pleasure to serve the Lord. It's a pleasure. You know, the burdens come and the burdens go. The blessings come and the blessings go. But I tell you, there's a danger in church work and serving the Lord. There's a danger of the blessing turning into a burden. I'm going to deal with this a little bit in just a bit. Where did that go? My pleasure. How many preachers are there in the room? Raise your hand if you're preaching the gospel. Amen. One, two. Brother John. Anybody else? Brother Jason. Brother Brian's gone. How many of you guys remember when God put it in your heart to preach the Word of God? Some of you run. Some of you wasn't sure. I didn't have time to do anything. I just went down between two pews praying for America and come up preaching. I've been preaching ever since.
Amen.
But you know what I did? I didn't say it with my mouth, but in my heart, God said, I want you to preach. I said, my pleasure.
Amen.
Oh, honey, you wouldn't have to go far to find a better preacher, but I tell you what, I like what my grandpa used to say. He said, you can find anybody preach better than I can, but you can't find a man that enjoyed it anymore than I do. Say amen.
Amen.
I enjoy the Lord and serving the Lord with gladness.
Amen.
His presence. Chick-fil-A, they say, my pleasure. I was thinking about this service as it's expressed. And I'm just now getting something in my heart. I think we're going to land this plane and come back tonight. I believe that's what God wants us to do. Amen. You see, even pastors have an air traffic controller. He's called the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. Some of these Baptist planes might crash, but God wasn't in it. Mark her down. He's a good air traffic controller. Years ago, Brother Chris, we lived in a, you know, you have somebody leave a door open. You ever heard somebody say this? Was you raised in a barn? I dare you to ask me that. I was raised in a barn. My dad fixed that place up. I mean, it was beautiful. I can still remember the trough that they fed the animals around the kitchen. We didn't eat out of the trough now. Mom had little decorations set up all the way around the kitchen. Had one of them bathtubs with them legs on it. You remember that? I'm not talking about a shower. I'm talking about a bathtub. Amen. You run you a bathtub full of water. I'm going to tell you something. Dad got that place fixed up so nice. He burnt brush. He cleared ground. He got it fixed up so nice. And Brother Jack, the woman that was renting it to us, jacked the rent up to where Dad couldn't afford it. He worked his butt off on that house. He glazed windows. He painted. I'm telling you, he worked hard. Dad was working for a man. He was actually doing some welding on the side, and he was building that man a trailer. You take channel and bring the tongue in, you split it, bring the tongue in, weld the corners up. And Dad was working for that man, and that man knew of a project that was going on in Edgewood, Maryland. And what it is, it was a government subsidized housing project. And so you could buy a house, and your house payment was based on what you made. It was based on the income that you made. He said, Pastor, were you really that poor when you were growing up? I'm not ashamed of it. There was a time when I was. There was a time when I would go over to somebody's house and I couldn't invite them to my house because I was in a barn. If I had it to do over again, I'd invited everybody at school to come to my house and see what my daddy done. Raising six youngins, amen. But anyway, we ended up buying that house, and that house, I'm going somewhere with this, y'all. Just because I said I'm landing the plane, that takes a while, amen.
Amen.
I've got an altimeter going, amen. Look it up. Now, We had a house. They were not all the same, but many of them were the same. Maybe just a left and a right of the same house. How many knows what I'm talking about? Our house had cedar shakes on the front of it. Cedar shakes. Every spring, Brother Chuck, Daddy would get a couple of gallons of a product called linseed oil. It's not like painting. It is in a way, but it's not in a way. Brother Junior, you know what I'm talking about. I can tell the way you're... I mean, you can't mess it up. Amen? You just put it on there. If it runs a little bit, the shingles just soak it in. You just put it... When we left that place, when Daddy sold that place and moved to Virginia, those shingles looked just like the day they were put on the front of that house. Everybody else in the community... Their shingles was all faded out. Those cedar shakes on the front of the house was all faded, but not Daddy's. I'm going to tell you, they were just deep, rich, had that cedar color to them because he done that every year. Now, I'm about 12 years old, Brother Chuck, maybe 13. I've been trying to figure in my mind. 12 or 13 years old. I know I was in the seventh grade when we moved to Edgewood, Maryland. And my daddy in the spring would say, "Son, you want to help me with that linseed oil on them shingles?" Brother Chris, I couldn't wait. I got over behind the bushes for Daddy, Brother Bill, and I got down the low part, you know what I mean? I put that, oh, I'm so proud to be helping my daddy. I'm so proud to be with my daddy. I'm so proud just to get to do something. And then something happened. I started making a bunch of buddies and friends. And Brother Chris, you know what the word sorry means? That's what they was. They're sorry. They wouldn't help her daddy do nothing. Amen. And I got to making some buddies, got to making some friends, got to playing tennis and riding bicycles and playing basketball. We was only a half mile from the school, all kinds of stuff you could do. And what happened, that when I was 12 or 13 years old, I looked forward to doing, getting over behind the bushes and helping my daddy. I just couldn't wait to help. 2 or 3 years goes by. Son, we're going to put them at linseed oil on them shingles Saturday. You going to help me? Oh, Dad, do I have to? Right there's where a bunch of Baptists are sitting this morning. There's a time in your life when you was thrilled to death to get to do anything for Jesus, and you've cooled off. No longer are you serving the Lord with gladness. It's, oh, God, do I have to? I'm going to tell you, we can have revival. Brother Coulter's coming. He ain't got revival in his pocket. He's coming right after Easter. And we're going to have a good meeting. I believe in the Lord. Say amen.
Amen.
But boy, wouldn't it be good if everybody at Bible Way was just serving the Lord with gladness when he got here. Brother Coulter's, anything you need, anything I can do to help you. Pastor, is there anything I could do to promote the meeting, to help the meeting? One thing you could do is be here. You could just come. Amen. And pray, like Laura sang about a while ago. Amen. Pray. We need the prayers of those we love. But I tell you, between now and then, I want us to practice serving the Lord with gladness. Our service is expected. Our service is expressed. The Bible said in 1 Chronicles 16:27, glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. The Bible said, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Did you know there's really, He said He would never leave us. He would never forsake us. That's Brother Gary's favorite verse. But Brother Gary, if we would be honest, I think you and I both would be honest. There's times when we sense His presence. And there's times when we say, Lord, where are You? I know You're here. There's times when we just don't sense His presence the way we would like to. Well, you say, Pastor, what happens? Lots of times we quit serving the Lord with gladness. The blessing turned into a burden. We're no longer singing. Amen. Now listen, if you don't sing in the choir, God never wrote one commandment about not singing in the shower. Go ahead. Say amen. Turn the water up high enough to where nobody else can hear. Turn the fan on. Amen. Play the radio, but sing unto the Lord. The Bible said, this people have I formed for Myself, they shall show forth my praise. We are his people. The Bible said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Let me tell you what to do. If your service begins to cool off, or if it's already on ice, won't you get in his presence? Won't you begin to thank him? Won't you go back to Calvary where you met him? Won't you thank him one more time for that blood that's dripping down his brow? That blood that's coming out of his hands. That blood that's coming out of his feet. That blood that's coming out of a back that's been beaten to a pulp. That blood that way back over yonder in the Garden of Gethsemane began to be shed from his forehead because his sweat became as great drops of blood in the agony. He knew that very soon he was going to bear our sin in his own body. He knew that very soon he was going to be made sin for us who did no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. He knew that very soon, Brother Chris, he was going to say from an old rugged cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken of God for a few hours in time, so that you and I could be forgiven by God.
Amen.
For all eternity.
Amen.
Amen. I say this morning, what a Savior.
Yes.
Serve the Lord.
Amen.
Serve him with gladness.
Yes.
Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Know ye the Lord. He is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. Where are you at this morning? That might not be good English. Where are you this morning? Number one, are you serving the Lord? And number two, are you serving the Lord with gladness? There's one thing, Sister Tandy, that I wish I could pick up from Brother Don. His jokes. I mean, it seemed like every time when he got up to speak, he told something funny, didn't he? Amen. With all them kids like you, it ain't no wonder he always had fresh material. Say amen. Amen. But you know what was obvious about Brother Don? He is glad to be here. Brother John, it was still obvious when he was confined to his recliner. He is glad to be there. I preached one Sunday morning, Brother Bill, and I said, we need to get out of our comfort zone. Brother Don met me back there at the door, and he said, Pastor, every time I get out of my recliner, I get out of my comfort zone. He was hilarious. He was hilarious. But he served the Lord with gladness. It's men like that that I want to look up to. I'm just going to tell you this because Brother John and I travel a lot together and visit a lot together. But Brother John said that basically, Brother John, everybody thought Brother Jack was just a mean preacher, amen. But Brother John said if you got to know him, he was a lot of fun, wasn't he, brother, to be around. And that ought to be the case, amen. We ought to serve the Lord. Yes, we should. But we ought to serve him with gladness. Let me tell you something. That lady that's going to wait on your table this afternoon, she's going to know. Ain't that right? That person you talked to on the phone this week about something that ain't right, they're going to know. Amen. We need to serve him with gladness. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the message, Lord. God, you sure have dealt with my heart. There have been many times in my life, Lord, when I kept on serving you. But, Lord, my heart wasn't right. My heart wasn't warm. I pray, God, this morning you take this and just drill it down deep into our hearts. Help us to serve you, Lord, but help us to serve you with gladness. Others are going to see as that is expressed in our lives. I pray this morning, Lord, for those that don't yet know you. God, they don't even know what this gladness really is. God, I pray you'd speak to their heart. For those, Lord, that gladness and that joy is cooled off, God, I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to their heart this morning. Help us to use this altar, Lord, just to come. For, Lord, truly you're worthy. In Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet.